What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
A turn to the show, we have limits. As fun as it was talking about the Pirates this weekend, an absolute blockbuster. If you didn't hear Austin's headline going into the last break, the Steelers have finalized a trade to acquire all-pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey from the Dolphins, sources telling Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport. Ramsey's adjusted contract includes a $1.5 million raise in 2025, so his salary this year, $26.6 million. The Steelers have now acquired some massive names this offseason to go along with DK Metcalf, Darius Slay, Aaron Rodgers. It is now Jalen Ramsey. The corners on this team are now Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, Joey Porter Jr. I got to give some credit, not thinking they would have another splash in them, but they certainly do. I think Ramsey can still play a little bit. I want to let the people sound off on this at 412-928-9370. As of what, last week, the reports from Adam Schefter and company were, yeah, they've checked in, but probably no chance this happens. Well, this is the big breaking news of the day, and this will carry the load for probably the next several hours. I know that the guys in the afternoon, they now have their plans for the entire afternoon. Jalen Ramsey is a Steeler. 412-928-9370. I think this really shows, given the finances of the deal as well, I would love to see them still add somebody at receiver, but this does tell me these guys are going all in on 2025. And even though I'm not going to toss this team into the Super Bowl or anything like that, Austin, you can't say they're not making an effort at it after getting Aaron Rodgers, already acquiring DK Metcalf. They're making moves like a team that is all in on 2025.
It's significant, Donnie, and you know, we still don't know what the full return is going to be yet for Ramsey, but I mean, this is a move of Omar Khan basically saying, all right, Jonnu Smith has been thrown out there, There's been discussions about Jalen Ramsey as well that I mean, you mentioned was shut down prior to this. It's surprising to me that they did this. I am surprised, especially after the Darius Slay move. I thought maybe they would do something to try to find a corner that can play a nickel position or play in the slot, whatever. I wonder what this means for Joey Porter Jr. Or is this ultimately extra insurance in case Darius Slay, who's 34, gets hurt? So this honestly brings up more questions than answers with this move for me.
I think it's kind of a backup plan of sorts with Darius Slay. I feel like those guys would split a little bit more. But even so, if it's sort of a three-man rotation at corner between the three, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world either, because maybe the Steelers after last season felt as if there was a little bit too much on the plate for Joey Porter Jr. It was his second year in the league, a big step up in responsibility into his second year. And we saw in some of those matchups, he was clearly outmatched. I can't get the one performance against Cincinnati out of my head, and he was mostly on T. Higgins, their number two, not Ja'Marr Chase, and he had himself some trouble. He gets into penalty trouble, so this, I think, a big-time insurance policy for both, but hey, I'm not against just acquiring good players, and given the Steelers' cap situation, they can't afford it. And on top of that, given how the game is played now, you can never have enough guys to defend the pass. You can never have enough guys to catch passes. You can never have enough guys to defend the pass, especially. So you keep bringing in corners that or defensive backs that are playing good football. I don't know if I'd say the Steelers have the best defensive backfield in the game. I mean, there's a team in their own division that has a pretty good one, just added Jaire Alexander a couple of weeks ago. But this is the Steelers' counterpunch to that. You have your three top corners as Ramsey, Porter, Slay, in whatever order. Minkah Fitzpatrick, Deshaun Elliott, Juan Thornhill was one of the offseason acquisitions. I like what this team is building on the defensive side, but again, it just adds to the pressure that the defense is now going to have.
Can I play devil's advocate for a moment, Donnie?
Sure.
So people, obviously, there are some out there that are not optimistic about Rodgers that think that he's done at 41 and he doesn't really have much of a chance to still be able to play. I know Ramsey is 30 and he'll be 31 in October. Plus adding Darius Slay, do you think that it's a realistic possibility that the Steelers are bringing in a lot of big names that might still be able to play, but it just ultimately all collapses in on them and all of them cannot play anymore?
I think there's a possibility of that. I don't know what percentage I would put it at for each guy, but I get what you're saying. Like, they're bringing in a lot of what they're doing, and they've kind of done this over the last couple of years, but this year it seems so more than any. They really are collecting football cards.
Yes.
You look at the back of that football card for Aaron Rodgers, you see one of the best resumes in NFL history. You got a pretty good football card with Darius Slay, an even better one with Jalen Ramsey. Metcalf, I wouldn't say at the same level, just due to he's still a pretty young player, given where a couple of these names are at. But there is the possibility that things could crumble for every guy. I think the nice thing is, really, besides quarterback, they're pretty good in terms of depth at most of these positions.
So Ramsey, according to PFF, had a 77 overall grade. That was 16th out of 222 corners. So PFF, who I know we talk a lot about when it comes to the Myles Garrett and TJ Watt discussions, he ended up playing a ton too. He was 13th out of 222 corners and snaps. So Ramsey, available, was on the field. The one thing about him that has always kind of frustrated me is sometimes he can be overly aggressive. And I wonder in Tomlin's defense how much freedom they're going to allow Ramsey to be. Because sometimes, whether he's jumping routes or he's playing extra aggressive right at the line of scrimmage, he was also 10th out of all corners in run defense. And that's something that they significantly needed improvement with as well from the secondary, especially as they're getting run all over against Baltimore. I wonder how Tomlin's ultimately going to deploy him. Like, is it going to be Ramsey and Porter opposite each other? Are they going to play more packages with Ramsey, Porter, and Slay all on the field at the same time? Does Beanie Bishop just get phased out of the offense or out of the defense? Was swiping his feet on the pit logo enough for enough people to be infuriated with Beanie Bishop, or is he's going to be parked on the bench for a little bit? I don't know. But what I do know is that one of the biggest positional groups that we had questions with, corner and wide receiver, corner has been upgraded. How big of an upgrade? I think it's something. I just don't know if it's significant.
Yeah, I mean, it gives them the ability to be pretty creative with things defensively, too. But we mentioned the added pressure. This is a defense that in the very recent playoff games has gotten beat up over the course of 60 minutes. I know that it was more so the run defense against the Ravens where they ran for 300 yards on them. But this just does add a layer of pressure because it is yet again a first-round pick, a former first-round pick being added. And not just any other first-round pick, a guy that is a multi-time All-Pro, multi-time Pro Bowler. He has been a great corner in the league since he entered. I mean, he used to be a menace with the Jags. I mean, that was certainly him at his peak early in his career. You remember those defense, that defense with, oh, we got something
Donnie,
else.
Donnie, we know the return.
Okay, what
and
do we
you
got?
You are not going to believe it. According to Adam Schefter, this is the trade. The Steelers are acquiring Jalen Ramsey for Minkah Fitzpatrick. A one-for-one, player-for-player trade. The Steelers are trading Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins back to Miami after acquiring him years ago for a first-round pick from the Dolphins, which they don't do, giving up a first-round pick. They are sending Minkah back to Miami for Jalen Ramsey.
Holy crap. Okay, now this
just changes everything.
Wow.
So Juan Thornhill and newly extended DeShone Elliott, where when Elliott was extended, I wondered, what does this mean for Minkah? This is unreal. This is unreal. They're trading Minkah to Miami, one for one for Ramsey. Never could I have expected this coming.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. All right, so that... the Steelers defensive backfield I just ran through, you can put a big X through the name Minkah Fitzpatrick. This got to be one of the bigger NFL trades, player for player, that we have seen in years.
This is one of the biggest trades in Steelers history.
We have not seen, you know, we just don't really see a straight player for player trade like this anymore.
No, not when you're trading two all pros.
And one guy back to his old team.
Yes.
Where he
demanded out.
Wow. This is a blockbuster in every sense of the word. The Steelers are trading Minkah Fitzpatrick and acquiring Jalen Ramsey. So now,
here's what this means to me, Donnie. Is this more about how the Steelers feel about Jalen Ramsey, or is this more about how the Steelers feel about Minkah Fitzpatrick? And obviously there have been all the talks and all the discussions of how Minkah was utilized, more interceptions in the Pro Bowl than he had in the regular season last year, and was Minkah being able to communicate well enough defensively? And clearly, they thought that it was enough to get out of this contract and move on from Minkah, which is still stunning to believe.
Yeah, so this will certainly have a lot of contract tie-ins and such, since Minkah was one of their big money players. This is massive. 412-928-9370. I do want to take some calls before we get to break here, but now we know the return. It is a one-for-one, a rare player-for-player trade. The Steelers are acquiring Jalen Ramsey from the Dolphins in exchange for Minka Fitzpatrick. 412-928-9370. Maddie is in Newcastle. What's going on, Maddie?
Wow. I'm absolutely shocked, man. Oh, my gosh. I was going to talk about a little bit about, you know, obviously how we could make some moves in the free agency market to maybe go grab, you know, Gabe Davis or Keenan Allen, anyone to help that depth. But now, obviously, with this return that you're talking about, obviously changes how I want to speak about it. So, with this move, you know, I think we can all analyze Minka going back to Miami. He's kind of been, I don't want to say not a bad ball player. He's been a great safety for us, but he's been kind of obsolete the past 2 years. Now with him moving out, now we get some really good depth at corner, which we've really been lacking along with the wide receiver position. I have a proposition. What if they moved Beanie Bishop into the safety position?
Now that
Minka's gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thought there, Maddie. I'm wondering what their play will be here. I mean, I think that Beanie Bishop could still hang out at corner and be that slot corner guy. I know that he could see his snaps go down now with three much better corners in play. But, I mean, it's going to be DeShone Elliott and Juan Thornhill as the starters. The Steelers also picked up a safety undrafted, Sebastian Castro, I believe the kid from Iowa. Maybe he ends up being like the undrafted free agent darling of 2025. Now I'm wondering if there is another move in the works of some sort, because this is massive Steelers news. Trading Minka Fitzpatrick, bringing in Jalen Ramsey. 412-928-9370. Roman is in the north side. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
I can't wrap my head around this, man. This is crazy. I want to say it's a good move off instinct, but, like, you know, because we all know what happened in the AFC wild card game, you know. It was just awful. Minka was getting stiff-armed. It looked horrible. So, I mean, part of me wants to say I'm happy, but, you know, what does this mean for our defense? You know, what does this mean for Joey Porter? Are we still playing him? What's going on here?
I think Joey Porter's still going to play. We might just see a three-man rotation of sorts at corner. And given that Slay is a veteran who is into his mid-30s, Jalen Ramsey is now 30 years old. I don't think this really spells the end for somebody like Joey Porter Jr. I still think he has plenty of time to prove something in a Steelers uniform. I think this is more an insurance policy of sorts for a player like him.
Donnie, we're not done.
Oh, my goodness. Now what?
Omar Khan is at it again. Steelers-Dolphins, according to Adam Schefter, trade part two. Dolphins are trading tight end Johnny Smith to the Steelers for a late-round pick swap, and Smith will get a one-year contract extension for $12 million.
All right, Limits, we're going to go to break. We're going to take a deep breath here. This is all happening at a speed to where it's hard to believe it's real.
And Donnie, you know what's really cool about it? While others are out golfing, here we are to react to it. Let's go, Donnie.
That's right, Limits.
Let's go, Donnie.
Because we're not the golfers, we get to prosper in this moment. Let's do it, buddy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani,
inevitable. Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
And I will say that he is one of the faces of this new way of doing business, for better or worse. And I like that the Steelers are not as predictable as they used to be, especially when the team doesn't win. Instead of just saying, well, we'll get them next year, at least the organization now appears to have the audacity, the flexibility, the maneuverability, the willingness to do things differently. And I think that that's mostly a Tomlin thing. But I think what Omar does is he goes out there and lets Mike know, hey, we can get DK Metcalf, and this is what we would need to give up. Do you want to do it? Yes or no? There is a team out there that wants George Pickens, and this is what we're willing, they're willing to give us. I think he's more active on that front. I think he's probably got a better relationship with the agents, having done the cap stuff for as long as he did with the Steelers. And so those would be the people he'd be talking to there, the money people. And so he, I think, gets it from that end more than, say, Colbert did, who was strictly a football guy. And I think with the draft, we see him move up and down and get aggressive with that too, if need be. So I'm not going to give him, I can't give him an A, Chris, as GM so far, because they haven't won a playoff game. But I like what he's done compared to what Kevin Colbert did in the last few years. So that's where I'll start with my breakdown of Khan as GM.
Do you rate him based on who they draft or no?
Ooh, that is a great question. It's his job is a tough one to evaluate, in my opinion, because I think he works for Mike.
Well, then I don't really know why, like, your initial reaction to this is, you said he's the face of the new way of doing things, but you said that the guy who's the oldest face in the building, basically, other than Art, yes, is still the one doing the things differently.
Yes, he is.
So he's really not the new face of Jack Squat.
He's the Robin to Mike's
Batman. If this is Mike's fiefdom, then it's really not changed.
But Mike has more power. And
because Kevin is not there
because
anymore.
Kevin is not there
but
anymore,
but I think one of the correct criticisms of the late Colbert era, I saw Ryan Scarpino, former Steelers PR guy, kind of lamenting how, like, the young people on Twitter have acted like Colbert was a hack GM, which is a ridiculous thing to say. He had a great start to his tenure, and I think his last couple years were not great. I think that's fair, and a fair, balanced way to look at it.
Yeah.
But if, like, the biggest and I think accurate complaint was that Mike and Kevin saw too eye-to-eye on things and didn't challenge one another, then really, I don't know how anything would have changed. If Mike consolidated some of that power, and that's what you believe, then it's just Mike, of his own volition, has charted this weird, different course. And that Kevin would have presumably gone right along with it, had he still been here. So like a lot of that, when you say it's hard to rate Omar, yeah, I mean, if you believe that Mike is judge, jury, and executioner, and that all Omar is doing is supplying him with the information, well, then the thing that you said there that makes him most different from his predecessor is he's better with the agents. He's got more of a background on the money side, and that's it.
I think Kevin had more say in the draft, and I think he had more say over football moves. I think it was probably like, if I'm going to give percentage on things, I would say it was 60-40 Mike. Okay. And now I think it's more 80-20.
Okay. I mean, I guess I have a hard time rating Omar right now. I have a hard time saying, I don't think he's like ushering in a new era. I think the Steelers are being more aggressive, and that might just boil down to Omar is better at doing what you exactly laid out there, finding what actually does exist for the Steelers to pursue and then giving Mike the options. Like, it is easier if you have somebody working the back end who can tell you, actually, this is feasible. If you want to do it, we can do it. This is what it costs. If you think that might have hit a roadblock with Kevin where he would have gone, Mike, we're not going to go get that guy. Like, and it would have just been those two buddies talking. Okay. I can understand where you're that differentiated.
If you were writing the article for our website, yes, on this extension, and you're trying to like sum up in a paragraph or a few sentences the Omar Khan administration, you would say that he has overseen a wholesale philosophical change, and he has been the GM during what has been the splashiest period of Steelers player acquisition since the 1960s.
That second statement rings a lot true, and I don't want to get in the weeds here, so I'm really not going to try to get pedantic about this, but has he overseen it, or has he just executed formally, like is he the front man executing what Mike wants to execute?
Yeah, I think he's that.
Okay, then do you understand why I am trying to suss out the difference,
yes,
between him being the guy technically executing the moves and the guy that you think is still running the show?
But it took a general manager change for that to happen.
Why then is the question? Because Kevin just wasn't as interested in even pursuing down that Kevin's 40%, difference made all the difference.
Because
here,
the Steelers from when Kevin, before Kevin got here to when he took over as GM, had a formula that worked. So they didn't deviate from it.
Well, for the majority of Kevin's tenure, once they got Roethlisberger onward for the next how many years? 15 years, basically. They didn't worry about the quarterback position. It wasn't a thought. And so they could set about applying the formula that you're describing here and finding players that fit that formula, and the quarterback's going to make a lot of it
better.
Well,
right, but even before...
But now they're in a brave new world of, trying to find that player.
I know, but even before Roethlisberger got here, in 2001, they were in the AFC Championship game. In 2002, they were a kicker away from being in the AFC Championship game his first couple of years. He adhered to, and I think it was also set from the Rooney family, and he executed that, which was, all right, you know, we draft players, we're minor players in free agency, with the exception of like the James Ferrier move, which, by the way, was not like they spent gobs of money on him.
It was not seen as like, oh my God, can you believe the Steelers got involved?
It was just
in the
super smart
sweepstakes.
Shrewd move.
Turned out incredibly well.
Now, like, they are making the biggest free agent signings.
They're more like the LA Rams now. The F them picks era of the LA Rams. They act more like other teams, but what have you gotten out of it?
But as you pointed out, and now other people, I saw Tim Benz basically either steal your idea.
I might have stolen it from Benzie, you never know. Depends on what the idea is.
Well, he said that they're not all in. And they're not.
I think that's just two trains running on the smart parallel track.
They're not all in because, yes, they're building a team around a 41-year-old quarterback, but they didn't mortgage years of future football with draft picks and stuff to try to win right now. They're trying to have it both ways where they're putting eggs in this basket, but they also have tons of picks in next year's draft. They didn't give those away to try to win this year.
I guess this is where I kind of level out on this. If you take the Steelers love to try to obfuscate who actually makes decisions. That goes back well into the Colbert tenure, et cetera, probably even when Cowher was there. They don't want anybody to be the one person who made a decision. It's always a big group think session. If you take at face value, though, that the general manager should be the one ultimately judged on who the personnel that they're bringing in is and not the head coach, even if you think the head coach is behind the scenes pulling every lever, then he has done things in a much more interesting and different way. Like, he has put his stamp on them as a team that is not going, that has broken and deviated from their traditional course. And that is how I would define or describe the first 2+ years of his job.
How about this one for Bob Nightingale? USA Today tweeted this out after the Pirates' victory yesterday over the Cardinals. Pirates interim manager Don Kelly has put himself smack dab in the NL Manager of the Year race after just 2 months on the job. The Pirates are 26-24 under Kelly, 22-17 in their last 38 games. That's bad math. That's 39 games right there, including 6 victories in a row. They were 12-26 when he took over on May 8th. Man, where would the Pirates be if they had fired Derek Shelton like 2 weeks earlier, even?
Yeah.
Like, they're not buried as much as they are right now. Maybe instead of being 9 games back in the wild card race, which feels like a tough mountain to climb, what if they're like 6.5 games back?
Right.
If they were 6.5 games back in the wild card race, like, they're still not in great position, but you don't feel like the second half would take a miracle to get you over the hump. And if they had won 5 more games, they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell were they waiting for? I mean, frankly, Don Kelly should have been the manager from day one. I will, however, disagree with Bob Nightingale. You can't be smack dab in the manager of the year conversation when the team overall is going to finish under 500. And I know that he is not responsible for that, but there are managers whose teams were mediocre last year that are now in contention right now, like Oliver Marmol with the Cardinals. That team was supposed to rebuild. They were supposed to be bad this year. They were mediocre last year, and they're in a wild card spot.
But do you think that everybody gives the Pirates, you know, almost the benefit of the doubt because it's the Pirates? And
yes.
And it's like, look at the job that this manager on the fly has done with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
He's done a great job.
It's more impressive than any other team. It's more impressive than doing, you know, the next year with the Cardinals. It's the Cardinals.
If he had started the year and they were at 500 right now, I think he'd be a shoo-in.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a shoo-in. But it's going to be hard for me to give it to him over a guy, let's say, like Marmol, if the Cardinals make the postseason.
That's true.
You know? Or even Craig Counsell with the Cubs, and I know that they've made moves this offseason to contend, and that's why I would probably lean Marmol over Counsell. But the Cubs weren't a great baseball team last year, mm-hmm. and they lead the division right now. So I think a full body of work is going to break the tie. It might be as impressive a job, and you're right, to take over on the fly and have this roster, this team above 500
right,
when they
payroll.
Were this bad.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right, with this payroll. But I think if you would tie, I think it has to go to a manager that leads a team to the playoffs, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But
just being in the conversation.
Right, they're a national story right now. They are, and that's not hyperbole. I mean, when you got Bob Nightingale tweeting out about the Pirates and their manager, they're a national story. When they've done something like they just did against the Cardinals that they hadn't done or nobody had done since 1884, yeah, you're part of the national discussion. Smack dab, he writes. Joe in Heidelberg wants to chime in. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Good. Outstanding.
Yeah. So I guess probably the one thing that I would say to your buddy if I were you is I would say, you know, all the blowout games, that's one thing. But the game on Tuesday, the scheme start, when you had amazing pitching coming out of the Cardinals, and, you know, I've watched it the last two seasons where these games we get great pitching and then somehow in late innings in the bullpen we end up losing the game. And to see them pull that out with the defensive plays they did and beating them 1-0, it's just different.
They played a great fundamental baseball game, Joe, and they would have lost that game with Derek Shelton.
They'd have found ways to lose before.
Yes.
Yes. And that's the difference, is that they are playing the game to win, not playing a game trying not to lose. And I know that sounds a little redundant, but it's just they're playing different. The pitching staff is so good. To a point, I wish that during the trade deadline, I think they're going to have to get rid of IKF. I think they're going to end up getting rid of Tommy Pham. I'd like to see them put someone else in the outfield that was a bat. I'd love to see Triola start hitting. If Triola starts hitting and they put Triola at shortstop, I think it solves a lot of problems for this team.
Yeah, unfortunately, Joe, and thank you for the call. We got a bunch of people online here, so we want to talk to them. But, yeah, Triola ain't going to hit. He ain't going to hit.
consistently, no.
He ain't hit. He ain't going to hit. Now, could he pick it at short? Probably. He's elite any place they put him, and he might have to be a stopgap guy, but he's not the solution at shortstop. Could Connor Griffin be the solution next year?
Well, I think, well, for right now, could Triolo be the solution?
I think you're pretty light on options. I think he'd probably move Gonzalez to short.
That.
I know, but I think you'd probably do it for the rest of the year. They don't have any options there. And I don't know about Triolo's range at short either. At second base, he's been fine in the past, if not better than fine. At third base, you don't need the range. Shortstop, you got to be a great athlete. And he is, but I don't know. I think they might move Gonzalez over there. For now, at least in the interim. But I think it underscores the problem that they don't have their shortstop of the future right now. And maybe it's Connor Griffin, but I've heard some talk that he might profile more as an outfielder. So we'll see. By the way, Connor Griffin, another reason to get excited about the Pirates. Baseball America. Harry, did you see this? This should titillate you. You're a prospect guy. Baseball America has Connor Griffin as the second best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And he's about to be number one because Roman Anthony's in the big leagues with the Red Sox and has yet to quote-unquote graduate. When he does, the Pirates will have the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball, according to Baseball America.
Unreal.
That is wild.
Yep.
Ninth pick in the draft last year. Now he's the number one prospect in all of baseball?
He's a good player.
Holy cow! He's a good player.
Did you mention something similar yesterday?
Yes.
Because you were saying, like, this guy might be special. Like, he might be coming.
MLB Pipeline yesterday, 2 days ago, said that he's now the 13th best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. So MLB Pipeline has him at 13th. Baseball America has Connor Griffin as second. Soon to be number one. Yowza.
Mm-hmm.
Rob in Chicago, hello.
Morning, guys. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July.
Yeah, thank you. You know, if nothing else, this winning streak lately has muddied the waters. I mean, let's face it.
Yes.
They weren't as bad as they were with Shelton. And if you think they're going to score 40 runs, they're okay. That's not going to happen. But I think let's see what happens between now and the All-Star break after they go out west a little bit, play the Royals and the Twins, and see what happens there. And I'm really not crazy about trading Mitch Keller, but I know it's kind of you have to. I'd feel a lot better if I knew there was a promise that you're going to get a bat, you know, preferably an outfield bat in return to make up for that.
So, Rob, I said that I would trade him at the deadline because of the way he's collapsed the last 2 years, but
right.
I still think you have to hold firm if you're Charrington. And by that, I mean you write down on a sheet of paper what you need for Keller, and that is probably one solid MLB bat and one guy that's knocking on the door to come up to the bigs. And if you don't get that, then you don't trade him. Like, you need to get exactly that for Mitch Keller. And if not, then it's not worth moving the guy.
No doubt.
Like, you can't just subtract from your rotation, even though you've got a ton of depth there, if you're going to be getting guys that are multiple years away from Major League Baseball. That would be selling. I don't want them to sell. They're so close, I think, because of the pitching that they have. You need a couple of bats. Don't tear this thing down. You're too good on one side of the ball.
Yeah.
You're too good there to tear this thing down. It needs to be a legitimate baseball trade. And if that's not being offered now, then even though he's collapsed the last 2 years, well, you simply can't do it.
I try to find a package with Mitch Keller and IKF and try to get a legit shortstop.
Yeah.
And if nobody's biting, then so be it. We'll keep him.
I kind of think since our conversation moments ago about Nick Gonzalez at short, like, what are you really going to get for IKF? I know his contract's up at the end of the year, and so that means, you know, you're going to trade rentals, but you're playing pretty good ball right now. You see where you are at the deadline. And for him in particular, maybe you do just hold on to him for the rest of the season.
Because,
like, what are you really getting for that guy? Unless you're right, you package him with somebody else.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Ray Fittipaldo joins us now. He's brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys, Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. Hello, Ray. How you doing today?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good.
What grade do you give the Steelers offseason so far, Ray? We'll start you there.
Man, I mean, part of me wants to give them an incomplete because I don't know.
Cheating. Can't do it. Not allowed to do that. Got to give a letter.
I'll go B minus to C plus because I don't know how Jalen Ramsey's going to fit. I don't know how Aaron Rodgers is going to fit. And the one main takeaway for me, guys, going into training camp is like the chemistry and the late additions, right? Aaron didn't come until minicamp. Now you're adding Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey, and they're going to try to hit the ground running in training camp. So for me, I just don't know how it's going to work. The one thing I do like about it is the versatility. Like Jalen Ramsey is more versatile than Micah Fitzpatrick. Jonnu Smith is very versatile. He can play all around the formation. So that aspect of it I like, but I'd be lying to you if I was supremely confident that this is all going to, you know, come together.
Well, I think that you can be confident that Jonnu Smith's going to hit the ground running from being in Arthur Smith's offense for two seasons or three seasons, went one season in Tennessee and one season in Atlanta. How effective do you think he will be this year? Like, do you think that Jonnu Smith can replicate the year that he had last year, the Pro Bowl year he had last year with 88 catches and almost leading, I think he was leading tight ends in the league in a lot of categories. Do you think he can replicate that this year with the Steelers?
That's the interesting part about the Storm, because he had good numbers under Arthur Smith in both Tennessee and Atlanta, but nothing approaching what he did last year with Mike McDaniel. So, you know, you would hope that Arthur goes back and looks at what McDaniel did and, you know, how they generated those numbers. But listen, even if it's somewhere in between, let's say it's 60 catches for 650 yards and six touchdowns, and you pair that with Freiermuth, That's a really good tight end combination. I mean, that, you know, on paper, to me, guys, it looks like it's one of the best tight end duos in the league. And I know a lot of teams haven't gone back to that since the Patriots model, you know, way back when. But if Arthur Smith is creative, and I think he is, I think this has a chance to be good for the Steelers.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So you mentioned how this will affect Freiermuth, and I think we are all in agreement that this is actually a very good thing for Freiermuth. What about on the flip side defensively, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, how's it all affect Joey Porter Jr.?
I don't know that it affects Joey Porter Jr. at all. To me, guys, Slay and Porter have only played outside in the NFL. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at Slay's numbers, but I don't think he has a lot of experience at other positions. At least with Ramsey, you know you can move him around. He's played in the slot. He can play at safety. And I would imagine that's part of the reason why this move was made. If you just look at them on paper now, they have an opening at free safety, unless they think Juan Thornhill can do that job full time. Listen, he's done it before, but he's also probably past his prime. And then if you look at slot corner, is he better than Beanie Bishop there? And,
yes.
You know, could you see him playing in that role? Or what's most likely, guys, is maybe you see a combination of that, right? So depending on the opponent, maybe he's playing in the slot in some packages, and maybe he's, you know, moving back to play free safety in other downs and distances. So it's really intriguing to me, you know, how this is all going to work. I don't know that even they know how it's all going to play out. But as I mentioned, I think the versatility is a nice thing for Mike Tomlin to have in that secondary. He didn't have that last year. You know, as much as, you know, Minka was a great player for them, he kind of liked to sit back in the deep half and play that center fielder role. Now Jalen Ramsey can add a different dimension to that defense, I think.
You don't expect Joey Porter Jr. to have to split reps with any of those guys. Do you expect Joey Porter Jr. to be on the field at all times?
I do at this point. And we'll have to see how that plays out, Doran, but I think you have to look at it. Let's say they're in sub-package all the time. Who are your five best defensive backs? So Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, Deshaun Elliott, or slam dunks, right? I think Joey Porter is probably in that top five. I think we would all agree with that. So yeah. Unless there were a lot of issues, like with him being grabby and the penalties again, I suppose, you know, they could move him in and out of the lineup. But I would think that the plan has to be just to use those guys all the time. And then in training camp in the preseason, just figure out what's best for the football team.
Clearly, the Steelers were comfortable moving on from Minkah Fitzpatrick because they were paying him a lot to not take the football away very often. What do you attribute that to? Were the wheels leaving him? Was it the usage? What happened with Minkah the last 2 years? Because prior to the last 28 games, you wouldn't go more than a game or two without him getting his hands on the ball.
I know. It's one of the more baffling things to me as I watch. And it's hard for me to sit back and evaluate, you know, did a guy lose a tenth of a second off his 40, or did he lose, like, you know, quickness that's going to be able to, you know, be the difference between him making plays and not making plays? If I had to, like, put a percentage on it, guys, I would say probably 70-75% of it is usage, right? Like, he's playing the deep half, opposing offensive coordinators are scheming away from him, so it just – it naturally takes him out of the game when you're not moving him around. But, you know, another part of me says, okay, like if the Steelers truly thought that Minkah was open to moving around and they did that, then maybe they do think that the athleticism and maybe the speed, maybe that took a hit over the last couple of years. It would be surprising to me if that happened because he's only 28 years old. Mm-hmm. He's going to turn 29. So, that, you know, he should be in his prime right now. So I would be surprised if that's actually what happened.
Real quick, Ray, I think that he was putting himself out of position, and I think that kind of, you know, that inhibited players on the defense to make the appropriate plays. I think that he thought that he could probably do more than he probably should within the defense. That's just my take on Minkah Fitzpatrick. I don't think it's an athleticism. I don't think it's an age thing. I think he was just trying to put himself in position to make plays, and he was actually, in theory, put himself out of position. Ray, do you think that they're going to make any more moves?
You know, I suppose with even with Jonnu Smith, maybe they could add a depth receiver. But I think in a lot of ways, Doran, the way they're going to use him in the slot, you know, I think it lessens the likelihood that they have to go out and make that move now. We'll see what happens if, with free safety. I mean, Thornhill is pretty much the only true free safety on the roster at this point, I think. I mean, I have to go back and look at some of the practice squad guys. But, you know, at this point, I think there's a chance that they can make another move. But I think they'd be fine going into training camp right now as constituted, if need be. Let me just ask you a question. You went back to what you were saying about Minkah. You know, he's always been known for, like, the film study guy and being a film room rat. Do you think some of that worked against him because he was so in tune to what was going on that maybe teams used tendencies against him because he was so in tune into that?
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, it could even be, like, something so little that he thinks that he has an edge, but it's actually a counter. Okay, say he's a center fielder free safety. I mean, even his alignment, he might be like, all right, I'm going to cheat on this side a little bit. Just it's going to look the same to everybody else, but I'm going to cheat a little bit, and my eyes are going to go in opposite direction because I think that that's where they're going, and then bang, other side. I think that that's kind of the stuff that was happening, and some of his teammates are probably looking around like, bro, what are you doing? Like, that's not what that's not what we put in. That's not what we installed. And he probably, you know, you get that. I mean, you saw Troy Polamalu do it, and he was really good at doing it. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. Not everybody can do that, you know, and you can get caught. That's what I think that probably happened to Minkah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then, like, you go back, you flip it over to offense. You know, early in Ben's career, he wasn't a film guy. And then he just naturally made stuff happen. He eventually turned into a guy who understood defenses, but – early on, it's, you know, that wasn't the case. So it's interesting how coaches can use that stuff against you if you really are, you know, good at that.
Ray, mumble, TJ Watt, mumble. What's going to happen there?
Another big mystery. Guys, I wouldn't be surprised if he holds out of training camp. You know, I think other players around the league might do that too. I think we saw a little bit of a trend with that in the mini camps. So I don't think people should panic if that happens, but I think that's a possibility. In the grand scheme of things, I still think a deal is going to get done if TJ wants to be here. Now, if something has changed in the last 6 months that I don't know about or the Steelers don't know about, then, yeah, anything is possible. But TJ has not talked publicly to reporters since locker cleanout day. On locker cleanout day, he was pretty clear. He wants to retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler. So all of this might be negotiating and, you know, all that stuff that's part of the business. So unless TJ has had a complete 180, I expect him to sign with the Steelers at some point in camp. I just can't tell you when.
Ray, this was wonderful. Thank you for your time.
All right, guys. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks, Ray.
See you, buddy. You too.
Oh, Pony caught up. There he is. He was being a very nice host here, Donnie, to our guest, Aditi Kinkabwala, who's in studio.
Stepping for the first into the time octagon. Ever, I think.
No, second time.
No, stop.
Second time.
Hey, this isn't a camera, is it?
It is. Yeah, you're on camera.
Like, right,
you'll
up
see it on that monitor.
Face?
Yep, you'll be on there in a second.
Oh, now no. Well, just no, now it's, if you sit further back and move the mic, you'll see it's in frame. Now people are just seeing your hair in one part of the frame.
It looks very black in there. Oh, gosh.
There it
that
is.
That is like a up close.
All right, Aditi, right, this is okay. Supposed to be the down season, the downtime in the offseason. Instead, the Steelers are making it all
How
about.
How un-Steelers like, right?
Yeah.
How much longer can we keep saying that, actually, Aditi? How much
or is this just the new Steelers?
Is this becoming the new era. Is this becoming the new Steelers like?
Well, if it were the new Steelers, then they would have already signed TJ Watt last year, right?
Because they would have broke their old rule and
gotten
something
cheaper
ahead
in the
of time.
End. I thought JJ was right to say that. Like, if you do this earlier and guarantee him the money earlier, then it's cheaper and he's not going to come back.
Obviously it is,
to you.
Because then Myles Garrett and Max Crosby don't have their contracts and Trey Hendrickson isn't fighting for
Micah
one.
Micah Parsons,
not
him.
Correct.
You know.
All right,
Trey
so let's go there then first. Because,
do you want to?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Because the Schefter tweet went crazy right after the trade happened of him. You saw it, obviously. Right?
I don't know what tweet.
He said, hey, now that the trade has happened, there are teams who think they can pry TJ Watt loose from the Steelers. The Steelers don't intend on trading him, but now the expectation is they're going to get a lot more calls from teams. And oh, by the way, TJ Watt is very unhappy with the state of negotiations. So the translation there, believed by many, is Watt's agent talked to Schefter and was like, hey, I don't want my client to officially request a trade. So can you float it out there that we're hoping that calls come in on him now? And maybe that, like, I don't even know if that means Aditi, hey, like, he's going to get, I don't think that means he's going to get traded, but maybe that starts to push the Steelers closer to negotiating.
Maybe it creates a little bit more urgency.
Right,
maybe
that's what
I mean. Maybe it establishes that his market is indeed his market, as much as they may want to underpay him or devalue him. But there is nothing more clear than the Steelers right now are pushing all of their chips into the middle of the table.
Malzi disagreed with that. He said, this is not pushing all your chips in. He said, this is not all in.
Well, I think that's a matter of, like, fine point. I think they might feel that way. I don't look at them as they're built and see.
Okay,
a team
but
that's
those
in.
Are two different things.
That's
right?
What I mean.
Whether
well, that's,
you
but
think
that's
that they are
nutshell.
A Super Bowl.
He says, I said it. When what I said is, I don't look at a team that looks all in because they just traded a guy to get a guy to
okay,
get two
but
back.
Whether you think that
they
are
think
actually
they are. I know they
correct.
Think they are.
They think that they are. So you can't do that without a game changing pass rusher. So why would you trade away essentially the key part of your defense? Because as nice of a player as Jalen Ramsey is,
yep.
you know it's the rush that helps the coverage.
Yeah.
And you know that Jalen Ramsey's not the same if TJ Watt is not up front there. So if you are all in, then obviously the biggest piece of that is getting the TJ Watt part done.
But what if you can't come to a compromise on a deal? Then what do you do?
You will at some point, but it ultimately will end up costing you more. Well, this feels so much like wash, rinse, repeat of what we went through the last
time. I disagree with you on that. I think it's very different. I think he's way more, I think he's handling it differently. He didn't go to minicamp. He didn't put out an Instagram post with him saying peace out like this time. And we weren't inundated with people that cover the sport saying he's pissed off once a week. That is, I think that's
okay,
different.
Okay, but he's also, that is fair. That is fair. But he's also an older player. He knows his worth more, and he has every right to be more pissed
and
off
I'm,
this
and
time.
And I'm not disagreeing with any of
time.
That. That's why I'm saying I don't think that this is a turnkey, oh, it'll get done situation. Not if he digs his heels in. Not if the rumor is true that the Steelers look at the Myles Garrett deal as an outlier and like the Deshaun Watson of defensive contracts, and they don't want that to apply to negotiations with Watt, then I think it could get very, 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 very ugly between them, right?
But this is what I said to you. How long ago did you and I have this conversation where I said that this is the piece of the business that is mind-numbing to me? Why do you aggravate, irritate, undermine, disrespect the guy that's basically been the epitome of what you want to be?
But I don't think they look at it as disrespectful if they feel like the Garrett contract is like Watson's, where it shouldn't be taken into account.
But this is also where I disagree. I don't think that TJ Watt is sitting there saying, I need one penny more than Myles Garrett.
But do you think he's sitting there thinking, I want to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL because that's what I'm worth?
I think that he is pragmatic enough to know what his age is and to know that he didn't end the season the way you would want to end.
Well, then this shouldn't be that complicated then, if he feels that way.
But that doesn't mean that you're underselling yourself. That doesn't mean that you're going to go for a middling contract.
I think he's got more impetus to go for what he thinks is an every penny in value, and if that's more than Garrett, to stick it out for that, because the first contract we're all talking about was his first real, I can make generational wealth in the NFL deal.
Right.
He's made that now.
Right.
He's made generational wealth. And now I do think he can afford to be a little bit more persnickety, to use a ridiculous word, and say, no, I am worth this much. You're not going to have this story of me bursting into Art Rooney's office. Mr. Rooney, let's get this deal done. Because he's richer. He's a lot richer than he was. He's cagier. And I think at least part of this, Pony might disagree, you might disagree too, isn't just about money. It's a little bit of pride and ego. Like, I'm not letting that guy in the division who I think I am better than, who might be a year younger than me, yes, set the market and get more. Like, I think he can, and I think he's reasonable to feel all those kinds of ways about this potentially.
Well, of course he is, because as much as, and we've had this conversation before too, that there is no one that you feel on the field more than Myles Garrett. There is no one that offensive coordinators worry about more. But TJ Watt has the ability to come up with game-changing plays. We've talked about this.
Look, unless Myles Garrett's playoffs, pressure yes. rate.
Yeah, well, but that's a whole team-wide problem.
Watt feels more
I know, but he's also the highest.
No, but there should be more on his shoulders because he's the highest paid guy. That's not unfair
like
at all.
When they do put up those playoff graphics, like when they're in a playoff game, they put up didn't they put up Lamar Jackson for the Ravens last year? And they had Watt, I think, stay there because they didn't even put Russ in there. They're like, ah, don't worry about him. Let's see what 90 can do.
He's their best player.
So that,
he should do.
I mean, he is.
He should perform in big games.
Of course that's a piece of it.
Well, so the bottom line for you is what? You think this is going to get resolved?
I think it has to get resolved. I think that the Steelers have clearly said, we are all in here. Okay? That's what they've done. They are building an offense as best as they can to suit both Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers at this point.
Well, that's a negotiating chip for him. Right?
For TJ?
Yes.
If you're all in and you're doing this.
And he's the most important piece.
You can't be all in without me, because if you don't have me and you trade me, you are by definition, yes.
Exactly.
I do think that they have done an odd job if they don't think he's worth X, Y, or Z, and maybe they're validated because he played more or less a full season, disappeared in the playoff game, lowest sack total in basically his whole career for a full year since his rookie year. I do think it's odd that they might have those feelings about him internally, and yet the owner came out and said, we see him as a one-helmet guy. The coach has often talked about him visiting from another planet.
Chris, here's what the disconnect is, and this is what happened the last time around. In these negotiations, TJ Watt was openly told, you're fortunate to be a Steeler. And his response was, you're fortunate to have me.
Oh, I never heard that part. That's a juicy little nugget right there.
I said it to you all that time ago when it happened. Mm. The Steelers' attitude, the Steelers' mindset, and you see this from so many fans too, is that it is such a privilege to be in this uniform, to wear this helmet, that therefore you should take a hometown discount. That just because you get to play for one of these cornerstone trademark organizations, and you know what? This trademark cornerstone organization hasn't solved the quarterback situation in the last however many years.
Hasn't won a playoff game
in however many years. And TJ Watt has every right to say, okay, yes, I respect you as an organization, but you respect me as a player too.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Coming up on the 50-minute mark pretty soon here, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. We have the big boy on video for an hour. If you don't have our YouTube channel, you haven't subscribed yet, you really should. You get a good look at Bob and now the big boy sitting at home where he does his podcast with Chris Mack, where he does his columns for the Pat McAfee Show. And where he talks to everybody on our station several times a week. We really value his contributions, don't we, Bob?
We do. And he's on the number one Cochran Sports Showdown on a regular basis, except when I overbook. And he's not on, but he gets paid anyway.
Mark, I think that a huge key here, in fact, other than quarterback, if I had to pick the biggest key to this whole team this year, it's the young offensive tackles. Do you agree with that? And how do you think both of these guys are going to turn out this year?
Well, I might have to narrow it down to your left tackle. I do, even though Fatanu has not played a ton, he only played a little bit last year, I truly have full confidence in him coming in and, you know, being a very good player right away to be in a very, very good player by the end of the season. Just how his makeup was and what you saw from him last year and just how he goes about his business. He has that feeling of a guy that's not a can't miss, but darn close to a can't miss guy. I have no worries about him. None about Zach Frazier. I keep saying this about Zach Frazier. He's an 8 to 10 time Pro Bowler. couple time all pro in the making here. I mean, maybe it'll be this year. He's one of the top three centers in the league, probably top five centers in the league already. I like what Mason McCormick did, and obviously Sayamalu's that vet. But Broderick Jones, it's all linked to him, what he's able to do on that left side. If he's able to play, I mean, he doesn't have to play great. But if he just plays above average, average to above average, I think this offensive line is being slept on a little bit. You look anybody's rankings, guys. You're looking 26th, 28th, 29th ranked offensive line going into the season, just based a lot on what happened last year. But there's a ton of talent here. And things can go south in a hurry with his entire team if this offensive line does not gel together. They got a ton of talent. I think it all hinges with Broderick Jones. He looks better. He moves quick. He has everything you need in a left tackle, but he just got to get the old mentals right. If he's going to get those right, they'll have a very, very good offensive line this year.
No concerns at all about Fatano not playing at all last year and coming back? No,
he played a little bit. They viewed him as a star last year in what they saw from him in the preseason. You remember they were benching Broderick Jones.
Oh, I do remember.
Him, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
but Broderick Jones quickly, once had the same kind of accolades thrown when he was taken, where he was taken. Everybody thought he was going to be a can't miss guy, but then they moved him to right, you know, and that may have done something to him.
Broderick Jones was, though, he fit the bill. He had the size, the athleticism that just wows you. Fatano not only has that part, but he played in a whole ton of games at Washington, important games. Mm-hmm. At Georgia, they played some important games, but he only had a dozen or so starts at Georgia. He just really wasn't ready yet to jump in like he did. So maybe it takes him longer than a Fatano. I really do think Fatano is going to be really good this year. I really do. And I think Mason McCormick is a guy that you're going to look back on, and he's going to be like a Ramon Foster guy, you know, a guy that just solid, not mm-hmm. going to wow you, but just there every single day. He works his butt off. He's a mean SOB between the lines. Nicest guy in the world outside the line, man. He has Ramon Foster vibes to me of how he plays and how he goes about his business. It's just what he feels like he reminds me of.
Sunny today with a high of 85. Very quickly, big boy, give me an 85 from Steeler history. Was Jay Reimersma 85?
What was 85. Ebron? Yeah, Eric Ebron. What was he? Was he 85, Eric Ebron, when he was here?
Yes.
No. Yeah. He was. I think he was. What about back in
Calvin Austin or Calvin Sweeney?
Calvin Sweeney?
Was he 85?
Oh, I got one. No, I was going to think Darius Hayward Bay, but he was 88.
88, right.
85.
I thought Sweeney was 85.
You might be right.
What about
Bob?
Jonathan Hayes?
You might be right about back Jonathan Hayes. All right. I'll tell you who's worn the 85 in Steelers history.
Oh, don't forget about Xavier Grimble.
Oh, who can? Grimble.
Bob.
Grimble be nimble, Grimble be quick. Grimble ain't around.
The candlestick.
I'll tell you who's worn the number 85. This list sucks, Bob. You can't even tell.
Jonathan Hayes.
I think Sweeney was 85.
I thought he was 86.
You're right about Calvin Sweeney, Bob. You're right about him, and congrats to you for that.
What about Darius Hayward Bay or Nate Washington?
He was 88. Darius Hayward Bay was 88.
He was?
Well, Pro Football Reference has him as 85 for like a minute.
Don't disagree with Bob Limit.
I don't. He was 88. But
when Jonathan Hayes was 85. Mitch Lyons was 85. Corey Geeson, you remember him, big boy?
Geeson.
John Alfred, you remember Allred? You remember him?
John Allred, I remember him.
Legendary tight figure. Reimersma, I was all over that, Bob. Yes.
That's Buffalo native.
What about Tony Bova from 1946 to 1947? Any relation to our promo guy, Joey Bova?
Maybe. And don't forget about David Johnson. And Bob, you were right. When he first got here, Darius Hayward Bay was 85. Let limits.
You would think the guy that does play-by-play for the Steelers preseason games would know the numbers, right?
Impressive.
Oh, I think
yeah,
I did.
Right about that.
It's hard to remember all of them, for goodness sakes. I mean, they change a lot. And then you have guys coming in making their numbers. They want this number. This guy changes to another number. And Mark, you know, man, they got 92 players during that time.
Bob,
they come
can
and
I be
go.
Your spotter for the number home preseason one. Game this year?
Bob, can Limits sure. be your spotter?
You want to come on the road? I have to get that approved.
Oh,
wow. Is that actually, an offer?
You know what?
Jared, did you just make an offer?
Jared Barton does all my work like that. He's really good at it. And you know Jared, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
So. You can be Jared's helper, Limits.
Could I check it out for like a quarter?
I can't get you up there. Yeah. No. Aww. You know, they're tight on that stuff. So, no, Jared does that stuff. So, unfortunately, the answer is no, Austin.
Great weather at 85 for Bob and Mulsey to play golf. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. I can't remember, big boy, and I should, with the whole George Pickens thing. Are you on team addition by subtraction or team Pompeiani, which is, man, that would have been interesting to keep him with DK Metcalf for Aaron Rodgers' sake. Which team were you on?
Honestly, I'm a part of both. I am very interested to see what they would have been able to do if they were able to keep those together. But I think in the long term of things, they had to do that. It was just a pipe bomb ready to explode for a wrestling term right there, man. I just don't think that that would have turned out the way.
How about if it did, though? Nice. How about if it did? How about if he checked his ego in the back seat and said, I got to play for money?
Hey, Bob. Have
I'm
you
just asking.
Talked to George Pickens in 4 years?
I know what he's like, but I also know Jalen Ramsey has that ability too at times.
Do you think by coincidence they get rid of George Pickens, Najee Harris, and Minka Fitzpatrick?
All right, so you're tying them all together?
And Pickett.
Not to the same degree, but
Jalen Ramsey has some interesting little incidents in his past. He was calling like for Jacksonville to get rid of their coaching staff after his first season, I think. And then
how would that go over here?
And then there were other incidents. And then Aaron Rodgers, like I've heard on this station, people say he's never had a problem with a teammate. All you have to do is Google Greg Jennings, Jermichael Finley, Aaron Rodgers to find that that's not true. Or you could go and talk to Mike Williams from last year after Aaron Rodgers. What was it? He didn't run his route on the red line, Bob? Was it the red line?
Yeah, whatever happened there that led to a big brouhaha.
So I'm not sure that potential that narrative for a lot of is true. There, right. So anybody who downplays at least the potential for a little drama around here, and when isn't there drama around here, is crazy, big boy, because the potential is there.
Yeah, but you mentioned not high-level people right there either. Jermichael Finley, wasn't he a producer for you guys?
I mean, he was a pretty good player, and Greg Jennings was a very good player. Jermichael Finley was a producer for us.
He's still here. His name is Greg.
The point being not who's high profile who has criticized Rodgers, but the idea that nobody's ever had a problem with Rodgers among teammates is patently false.
Well, that's impossible to say. Everybody has a problem with somebody. I'm sure one of your 87 co-hosts you've worked with, Joe, you've had problems with as well.
I never claimed
that
otherwise.
You're the problem.
Yeah, I never claimed otherwise.
Well, what I'm saying is sometimes you might have a disagreement with one person. Doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Who said he was a bad person? I said he's never had problems with teammates that's been pushed on this station is false.
Well, what I'm saying is somebody would come to say, well, Joe, he's a tough guy to work with because he worked with so-and-so and they didn't get along. Well, that doesn't really apply right now, does it?
I don't know yet. The season hasn't started. There is some history of that. Go ask Mike McCarthy about his job in Green Bay. Do you think him and Aaron Rodgers at loggerheads might have had something to do with Mike McCarthy being gone? Or no?
Loggerheads.
What are loggerheads, Bob?
Snakes or beer, one of the two.
I don't know.
Even if you look at a guy like last year, I think some of the issues in New York were, I think some of the established people in New York weren't happy that he was bringing in some of his buddies. You know what I'm saying? The Alan Lazards or so, then maybe that's why Garrett Wilson wasn't very happy. I think that rubbed some people the wrong way. But when you're in New York,
Is the Alan Lazard thing
the keys to him?
Is it still out there? Is it a possibility, Alan Lazard? Because they're still looking technically for a number two.
Let's hope not.
Alan Lazard might come here?
I don't know. I'm just saying, that was we talked about that several weeks in a row, and then all of a sudden we haven't heard a thing about it. This is after they acquired Jonnu Smith.
They have three Alan Lazards on this team already.
Roman Wilson being one of them. It.
Bob Woods being another.
Yeah. Spence Skoronek.
Are you optimistic about
that? Did you see the highlight of Aaron Rodgers throwing an alley-oop to, is it on a basketball
court? Yes, they're playing basketball in Malibu.
Are they? The guys are out in Malibu right now.
Yes. It was just a video of Aaron and Skoronek, but yeah, he threw him an alley-oop.
Wow, how about that?
How about that?
You think Skoronek, is he violating his contract by playing off-season basketball, Mark?
I spoke glowingly of Skoronek a couple weeks ago, and people were making fun of me.
You said nobody wins the Super Bowl without a Skoronek on their team.
You need those type of guys, man. That type of guy right there. The win Super
Special
Bowl.
Teams guys.
You need the Sean Morris, you know?
You need Sean those type Morey. Of guys. I'll never forget that guy. He was Antoine Randall L's little mole librarian. You remember that incident in the locker room, big boy?
I just remember trying to get on the team plane, and they let me go, and they stopped Sean Morey, and he got really offended.
Yeah, he
when I used to ride the team plane back 15 years ago, the security said, go ahead. And I'm like, okay. Then they stopped Sean Moore and go, I need to know who you are.
I remember I had written something critical of Ben's receivers compared to Cincy's receivers with Ocho Cinco and whoever else they brought in, TJ Houshmandzadeh and the kid Chris Henry. I was like, why don't they give Ben these weapons? So I'm in the locker room one day when that story came out back when there were newspapers and they had the newspaper in there, I think. Well, I found out they did. So we get called out by Bert or somebody like, time's up, your 20 minutes is up, leave. So I look to the far end of the locker room and there's Sean Morey with a piece of paper in his hand whispering to Randall L and they're both pointing at me. So I'm thinking, I ain't leaving now. I'm making a beeline. I'm going to deal with this right now. And what do I find over there? That Sean Morey, Antoine Randall L's little librarian, had a copy of the story with yellow highlighter of stuff that was said in it. And then Antoine Randall L, the nicest guy in the world, and you know I'm nothing if I can't tick off nice guys, Cabali. I've ticked off Jerry DiPaolo, Ray Fittipaldo, everybody else. Next thing I know, I'm toe-to-toe with Antoine Randall L in the locker room because of Sean Morey. Yes. He says, media's why are you guys always so negative? I said, I wrote a great story about you and your mom when you got drafted. You never came up to me, and you and Sean Morey, and said what a great job I did. Who's accentuating the negative here, me or you? You never say anything about all the good stuff I write. I write something mildly negative, and now you're harping on the negative.
How far away were you?
So who's harping on the negative, the media or the player? So we're up in each other's faces.
Nose to nose.
Nose to nose with Antoine Randall L, of all people.
And he's one of the nicest guys.
One of the nicest guys on
earth. You're a little taller.
And it was Sean Morey's fault.
Did you have a heart rate, beating heart? Was racing? Was it going faster?
No, but David, who was the other PR guy over there? David somebody. I can't remember his
Lockett.
Name. Lockett.
Dave Lockett.
Davey Lockett. Step in between us like a boxing referee. He steps in between us, and then I had to go up to his office. I think he was just protecting me. But then by the end of the year, by the end of the year, I was proved wrong because they beat the Bengals in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. With their receiving core playing a big role in it. And then at a golf tournament after the year, myself and Antoine Randall L buried the hatchet, Bob.
And that's when you weren't playing golf back then. You just, it had to be
no,
at the 19th hole. You
were just covering it. Yeah.
Okay.
So the story.
What about Sean Morey? He still hates you, though?
Well, Sean Morey, he pissed me off with that. I'll just be honest about that.
He was trying to,
stir it up in there. Anyway,
you've never been accused of stirring anything up, Joe, in your life.
No, never. Which player has been most angry at you in your career? I'm very curious to hear this.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's James Harrison, easily.
Any particular incident you could refer us to?
Yeah, he thought I wrote something bad about him. So he caught me after. You remember the game, Monday night game or Sunday night game? Against Baltimore at home when he had like three sacks and interception.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And I went out to talk to him because we were on deadline. And he just snapped on me because he thought I wrote something or said something on the radio.
Oh, my God.
And he's just screaming at me and yelling at me. And Brett Kiesel looks at Scott Brown and says, somebody better get him away from him. Turns out he...
He's the last guy I'd want to tick off. What?
He misidentified me as another large mark in the Pittsburgh media.
Ah. Wait, so he wasn't even mad at you then?
No, but he never admitted it. Even later on, he thought, still said, I know it was you. I'm like, it wasn't me. It was the other guy.
You caught some strays there. Don't you feel bad for Cabali, Bob?
No, I got some with Mike Wallace.
It gets tense in there sometimes.
Answer this honestly, because you're an incredibly nice man. You really are.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Has any athlete ever got up in your face?
Yeah, Mike Evans.
What happened? Wait, Mike Evans for the Tampa Bay Bucks?
No. The Evans, who is it? Mike Evans? Mark, help me out. He was a defensive lineman.
Donald Evans.
Donald Evans.
Yeah? Yeah. What happened?
Well, we just talked about we were doing a post-game show or something of that nature, and we were critical of him because he didn't play well. Well, the next time I was in there, he made sure he told me, you're critical of me. Have you ever played football in here? And one of those, no, of course I've not played football. Look at me.
Neither has Bill Belichick, you should have said.
Well, at the time, this was how many years ago? But it got a little tense in there, and I just said, look, it's fair game, man. We're just trying to be honest about it. I think you should be honest about your game last week. Instead of looking at me, you know, look at your own self-critique.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Bob.
That was all. I mean, and that's what I had to say. I mean, he said what he said.
Late 90s, right?
Yeah, I was in the 90s. I just, you know, my heart was racing, though. I have to be honest with you. The other time was Lawrence Taylor. I got in. We went on the
Lawrence
road.
Taylor?
Well, this wasn't my fault, but because I was a visiting media person, it became my fault. We went into the locker room, and it was a simple situation in New York. We're getting ready for a big Steelers game. We went there in advance. And all I wanted to do was talk to Lawrence Taylor, but I had no idea that he had an off-again, on-again relationship with the media. When he spoke, you had to honor that. I didn't know that. So I went in, went to his locker, introduced myself, and he kind of slapped my hand away, said, I'm not talking. And I said, all I wanted to do is get an answer. You could have given me a better answer than hitting my hand like that. Like, it just got my Italian blood going a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So then immediately I got escorted out of there.
Wow.
But I didn't do anything. All I asked him a question. That's all.
So, oh, my God.
Can we talk?
It's a different side of Pomp.
What if Pomp fought Lawrence Taylor?
No, that would limit. No. That's
I'd love
not
to
happening.
Officiate that.
You guys have both had incidents with maybe the last two people in the history of the league that anybody would want to have them with, James Harrison and Taylor.
No, Donald. Oh, he had James Harrison?
Yeah. No, well, you just said Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor, right.
Yeah.
Everybody steered clear of Lambert, right?
Yeah,
except for Ron. I think Ron may have had an incident with him.
Hey, Mark, you know, this back then, things were different. You could go in and talk to anyone. I thought any day, you know, there was designated time areas. And in New York, I didn't know he had that. I had no idea. It was an open locker room, and that's all I wanted to do was ask him a couple of questions.
So. Big boy, did I ever tell you about my run-in with Tom Barrasso?
Misunderstood.
Knowing Barrasso and knowing a Joe Starkey that can get hot, I can imagine where this
Joe
is going.
Can get hot. Have you ever heard some of these shows where someone calls on, hey, Tony, come on, Tony, Joey.
So the story begins with me speaking of the other Mark in Penguins media. He ran he ran something called the Penguins Report, and I wrote a story on Tom Barrasso in there where I said that Barrasso has more personal baggage than a fleet of UPS carriers, and he didn't like that line.
Well, that was pretty harsh. That was pretty harsh.
He came up to me before a practice and said, Starkey, why don't you come on the ice and take a couple shots? And there would have been a fight, except I thought better of this. The line that came into my mind immediately was, yeah, I'll take a shot from center ice like Tom Fitzgerald did in last year's playoffs. Bet you can't stop that one. But I didn't say it.
You could have been a rich man. You could have been a rich man.
I would have been a rich man, Bob. Remember the Tom Fitzgerald shot that beat him from center ice?
I do remember that one. But I can't believe you were – and you stopped yourself. Normally you don't stop yourself.
Yeah, I stopped myself. Why don't you come out here?
What do you think his reaction would have been had you said those exact words?
He would have swung his stick at me, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. They would have. Or he would have come back at you at with some verbiage, because he always took pride in his. He was very articulate in the interview. I thought he was good. And sometimes too insightful to the point where he was assuming you're asking something you really weren't.
Yeah, let me try one from just inside the right blue line, Tommy.
Like, see, if you said it like that, you would have
David Volek. Like David Volek did. See if you can stop that one. Bob, yeah, it would get ugly at times, but mostly respect.
Yeah.
Ben and I
would say that, Bob, would you have think that Joe would bite his tongue now if this happened? No, he would let it fly.
No, this version of Joe Starkey right here, there would have been no holds barred. I mean, he would have just gone in there and said whatever he wanted to say. And then you could see the eyes get bigger, the glasses get a little steamier, and the next thing you know, there's a full-blown riot going on in the locker room.
You should have seen me and Yager at times. Or me and Marlon Byrd once in the Reds locker room.
Marlon Byrd was a little testy. I remember that.
God, did that get ugly now that I...
should write a book about all the media fights.
Me and Ben was sometimes an unpleasant character to deal with. Would you agree with that, Cabali? He got you once on what?
He got me once in the lobby.
What'd he say?
He started screaming at me in the lobby after the Oakland game.
What happened?
I said, you know, you didn't have to do this in front of everybody else.
Was that the one with the broken X-ray machine game?
Yeah, and he didn't go back into the game, and he wasn't whoever the coordinator was at the time. Was it Haley?
I think it was Haley. What? Tell us the story.
I might have tweeted something to the fact that he has even went over and talked to Haley since he's coming out, something like that. So he just starts yelling at me in the entranceway of the facility about, I saw what you wrote on social media. See, I bit my tongue there. I was going to say, but Ben – you don't do social media, but I didn't. I let it go.
I like that.
I want to hear the Marlon Byrd story.
That's an oldie but a goodie. This was the last game of the season in Cincinnati in 2013.
Right.
So we're getting everything's clinched. The Reds are coming to town Tuesday night, I believe, for the wild card game. What would become the famous wild card game, right, Bob?
Yeah, the Cueto game.
So we interview Marlon Byrd after the game in Cincy. Everything's nice. And then I find out the savvy old news hound stayed around the locker room, okay? And I find out that whoever was supposed to pitch for the Reds in the wild card game was not pitching. It was going to be Johnny Cueto coming off an injury. So hardly anybody's left. So I'm like, I'm going to double back and ask some of these guys about, hey, did you hear Cueto's going to pitch this game? So I go back to Marlon Byrd. And he says nothing. I'm done talking. Then the now late, great Tom Singer, you remember him from MLB.com? Yep. Great guy, great reporter. He angles his way over to Byrd, and I say, he's not talking, just like that. And Marlon Byrd took great offense to that. So next thing I know, it's Jim Turdinich. Just like David Lockett from the Steelers, it's Jim Turdinich playing Richard Steele between me and freaking Marlon Byrd, who was a big man. You remember him?
Yeah, I do.
And it got real ugly. I mean, he was in my face.
But, I mean, all you did was say what he just told you to Tom Singer.
Yeah, there may have been a little edge when I said he's not talking.
So you said, he's not talking. Don't waste your time.
He's not talking.
Right, he's
Don't
not
worry
talking.
About it.
Yeah. So it got real ugly. Real ugly, real fast. And that time...
Did your heart race that time?
That time I was... I was not backing down because it was very ugly as it could be.
Swear words involved.
The guy who always talks about betting witnessed it in the locker room. Who's the guy who sometimes has been on this station?
Tucapita Marcano.
No, not a player. A media guy.
I knew Cabali would like that.
A media
guy. Dave,
I'm talking about Dan. Costas. Nick
who?
Costas?
No, not him.
Dave something, right? Dave.
No. Some other guy. He was
the guy that just holds the microphone.
No, it was a different guy. He was the only witness to it. And then, as a little addendum, the next morning, I'm relaying the story to Greg Brown as we enter the clubhouse. I'm saying, you wouldn't have believed what happened. And who walks right up to us again but Marlon Byrd?
In the middle of that conversation.
With Greg Brown, yes.
Wow.
What did he say?
I don't remember. I don't think anything. He didn't
really
need to say anything.
I'm still not talking, okay? Leave me alone.
Oh, those were the days, Bob.
Yeah, a little give and take back and forth.
I think you win with Lawrence Taylor.
But it was an innocent enough question, just like you say, hey, can we talk? That's all I wanted to do. There's no reason to...
Well, Well, you did say, well, if you wouldn't have slapped my hand away.
Well, because so he slapped my hand away. I said, well, you don't need to react this way. Just, you know.
I can't believe that story. That's the best one.
That was, yeah, and I knew what was going to happen afterwards because you just can't do stuff like that. And Austin's waving his hands in desperation.
See you, big
We're
boy.
We're way over.
That was great.
Mark.
We'll see you, fellas.
What a have man a you've one. Become.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.